Okay, hey. Yesterday we were talking about privacy. And let me know if I'm getting this too close to my mouth, because usually I don't speak in a microphone. Today we're going to talk about some of my more hardcore writing. We're going to talk about two books, Fake ID by Mail and Modem and The ID Forger. Definitely not favorites on the FBI reading list. Okay? Now, two things I got to tell you. We have sold out of this book, but we will have more of it here tomorrow. And I really encourage you guys to get a copy of this book, because I need the royalties. We got plenty of this one left out there. When I'm done, I urge you, I beseech you to please besiege the Lumpanics table and get your books now. In any case, let's get started on fake ID and ID forging. As you know, I have written a lot of books about how to create a new identity from the ground up in various permutations. Generally, during that process of new identity creation, at some point you'll need to use a fake ID document. Or you may just want a fake ID document for privacy reasons, and we'll get into the number of reasons why you may want them. Of course, there are a lot of sites now on the Internet, as the Internet has grown as a medium of doing business, that purport to offer high-quality documents. Well, as many of you know who have tried to buy these documents, that many of these sites are scams who take your $100 or more, and you never hear from them. And it's not exactly like you can call up your local police department and say, "Hey, Sheriff Bob, I didn't get my fake ID, you know? What can you do about it?" And the guy at the FBI would say, "Well, why don't you come on down to our office? We'd be more than happy to help you out." Okay? So, here's two things. One, go to my website, privacypower.com. I have a page on there about fake ID sites. If I find out an ID site is legitimate, I will post it on my site and say that I've checked them out. In fact, I was hoping to tell you I would know of a new source for high-quality fake IDs at the conference. I was contacted last week. I gave the guy my email address. I told him to email me his URL and other info. Guy never got back to me. I called him a couple of times, so it probably was a scam. I will not recommend a site recommend a fake ID vendor at my website or in a book unless I personally have verified that they will, one, do the quality of work they say they'll do, and number two, that they will ship their money. First, let me tell you, there's a bunch of websites that purport to offer high-quality fake IDs. They're all run by the same guy. One of them is called ProMaster ID. There's fakeid.org, a bunch of these places. It's a bunch of guys in Saskatchewan. What they do is they set up domains, then they get mail drops. They take all their customers' money. Then when the heat gets too bad at that one, they have another one set up. And then they start there. The scans at their sites look really good, because what they do is they get a copy of the ID checking guide and simply put those scans up on their site. So do not fall for these guys, okay? Unfortunately, probably a quarter of the websites purporting to offer high-quality fake ID on the Internet are these guys. Don't give them any more of your hard-earned money. These guys are already millionaires from all the people they've stolen money from. Okay, those are my two caveats. Now let's get to the big stuff here. First of all, can you legally sell, make, and use fake ID? Well, the answer is yes and no. Prior to 1983 in the United States, there was no federal regulation of fake ID. It's always been a crime to counterfeit federal documents like a military ID, a passport, currency, stuff like that. But there was no specific laws at the federal level that dealt with the production, the manufacture, and the use of fake ID. Prior to 1983, there were all sorts of vendors across the United States who would sell anything you wanted to buy. You wanted a driver's license, you could buy it. You wanted a birth certificate, you could buy it. And it was good stuff for the quality of the technology at the time. And the only possible problems these vendors could have was in their own state. So usually what they would do is if the vendor was located in New York, he wouldn't sell a New York driver's license and he wouldn't sell it to anybody who actually lived in New York. That meant his customers, they couldn't, there was no legal way for him to be held liable because it wasn't even illegal to use the mails to ship the fake ID. When they started to try to harass them on that, then they would use FedEx or UPS. Well, that all changed because of two things. In the mid-70s, Congress had a big to-do on the false use of false identification in the United States. There was a huge government report, blah, blah, blah. Well, to make a long story short, that government report, 7 years later, created the impetus that created the first laws at the federal level regulating the production, sale, use, and transfer of fake ID. And it was the False Identification Control Act of 1982, which went into effect January 1 of 1983. In a nutshell, now, in this book, Fake ID by Mail and Modem, and let me flack it for you again, see, nice bookie. In any case, in the front of this book, I reprint the law. But in a nutshell, here's what the law says. It lets you do two things. One, you can make any kind of document you want to make. That's even if it's an exact duplicate of a federal or state ID, if there is a disclaimer in 10-point type across it that says, not a federal document. Well, let me tell you how that is developed. One time I ordered a document from a vendor. They were selling Colorado driver's licenses. This was a few years ago. Wonderful license. But in the ad, they neglected to tell you that, oh, when you get this document, underneath the laminate will be not a government document. And it's like, well, and I sent it back to them saying, what good is this going to do me? If I go try to use this at a bank or whatever, they're going to look at it and say, but it says not a government document. You know, so it was useless. The point of it is, they have to put the disclaimer on it. If you put the disclaimer on, you can make anything that you want to make. The second thing that the law allows you to do is that if a document doesn't have a birth date on it, essentially, it's unregulated. If you notice, a lot of the, what I call the lower level types of IDs these places say, the kind that say that you're a bounty hunter or a photographer or private investigator, you'll notice none of them generally have birth dates of the holder on them. Why do you think that's the case? Because if you don't have a birth date on it, it's not considered to be an identification document as per the law. So the other part of the law says you can make anything that you want to make if you leave a birth date off of it. And it's not a duplicate of something that exists. So this is where the law stands. Now, what's happened is a lot of vendors now have realized, hey, this is the law. They've consulted with lawyers. And now they have set up businesses selling documents that conform to this law. So here is my first warning to you about fake ID by mail and modem. If you consult with a vendor and his documents don't have this disclaimer, I can guarantee you that in a matter of time, he's going to be busted by either the FBI or the Secret Service. You have to use the disclaimers. If you don't, you will be busted, okay, if you're in the United States. Now, let's talk about IDs from other countries if the vendor is outside the United States. Then the law of that country is the operational law. To give an example, it is illegal to go to a copy machine and make a copy of a U.S. dollar bill here in the United States. It is not illegal to go and make a photocopy of a Canadian dollar bill here in the United States because a Canadian dollar bill is not, or a $5 bill, since there aren't any ones and twos left in Canada anymore, as any of the Canadians here know, that is not legal tender in this country. It's not legally money in this country. It's colored paper in this country. So the law that governs the manufacture, sale, and transfer of fake ID in another country is that country's laws. If that country's laws say, hey, if they say it's a novelty and they put novelty on it, then we don't not interested in it, then you can safely order that from that country because that country's authorities would have to prosecute the seller of the document. What is a novelty? Because you see this a lot. A novelty means toy. Essentially, I mean, what is a toy? If I said to you, define a toy, well, you know, we all have an idea of what a toy is, but it's kind of hard to say exactly what it is. Essentially, when you say something is a novelty document, you're saying, I made a toy in the form of a driver's license. Okay? That's what novelty means. So, for example, fake ID sellers in Canada, under Canadian law, if it's clearly labeled a novelty document, they can sell them. Now, if most of their customers are in the United States, the problem is what happens when it goes across the border and U.S. Customs would open the package? Well, there's two things. First of all, smart sellers of documents know that you send things via first-class mail because, in general, Customs can only open a first-class letter if they have probable cause to open it. They just don't open it at random. However, packages can, or mail that's sent other than first class, can be opened for any reason at any time. So generally, these sellers of these documents will send them via first class mail. The other thing that they will do is that the document will have a sticker on it that will say novelty, and the outer envelope, there won't be anything that won't say fake ID company of British Columbia. Okay? Hey, you think that sounds stupid, but I have ordered stuff when you get it, now it's crappy, and it's got on there photo, you know, ID fraud place, you know, 54 Granville Street, Vancouver, BC. Gee, it's like, that's probable cause for the customs guy to open it. But the point is, if it says novelty, it's legal. But here's what will happen. They'll open it and go, oh, well, let's write down this guy's name and address. Anything else you get that comes from out of the country, then they might open it. And you get, and then you need to come back from that weekend trip to Toronto or Vancouver. It's like, damn, why did they send us in for secondary inspection? Well, gee, because, that fake ID you ordered from the ID scammers up in Toronto or Vancouver, that's why. So these are the operative laws that govern the manufacture, sale, and transfer of fake ID. Finally, there can be state laws. That's where you have to be real careful. For example, Florida recently concluded an enforcement program of fake ID because college students were buying high-quality fake IDs from a vendor now that shut down and using it for underage drinking. So the Florida Alcohol and Beverage Commission started really going after this guy, and they threatened to charge him under a Florida state law. So you have to be cognizant of the fact that in a few cases, there are state laws that govern this. But in general, the federal law is the operative law, especially if a vendor says, well, I'll only sell my wares to someone located in another state than the state that I'm in. So, like I said, step one is to always make sure that the vendor, if he is offering for sale documents that are finished documents that do not have the disclaimer, then he's going to be shut down and your name and address might get onto an investigative list. I say stay clear of that, okay? Now, as far as a disclaimer, though, nobody says, it says it has to be on there, but nobody says it has to be on there in indelible ink. Nobody says you can't put it on there in a way that you can take it off. One seller of go-kart driver's licenses, he puts the disclaimer on, but the disclaimer and the word go-kart are above the body of the rest of the document. So, it's like, oh, I see, cut along the perforated line, add photo, seal and laminate, and miraculously the go-kart has disappeared, and now it's just a driver's license. Then, now, if he doesn't, as long as the vendor doesn't tell you to do that, it's legal, okay? Or they're sellers, and I show them in the book, who sell what we call the unsocial security card. The unsocial security card, okay? Did you hear that? All right. Now, so nobody said, well, wait a minute, is there any way I might be able to remove the un? One vendor puts the UN on a flap a little bit above the rest of the word social. And it's like, oh, snip, snip, voila, right? Hey, a lot of you have green cards, the so-called resident alien card. Well, how'd you like to be the president alien, Okay? You get my drift here? Because those are clearly novelties, it's not illegal to make a president alien card. Maybe the guy's from Mars. You're the president of Mars, okay? That's not illegal. It's not illegal to make an unsocial security card. Maybe the guy's just in bad mood all the time. That's not illegal. I don't even have to put a disclaimer on that. And of course, this drives INS and these, the FBI and you name the, you put the three letters together, drives them nuts because these are totally legal. They don't even have to worry. So if you see a president alien card or an unsocial security card or a go-kart driver's license, then I say that's a good document to buy. Now, the other reason those documents can be good, and I'll talk about that in a couple of minutes when I talk about ID forging, is that president alien card. Well, you know what? He sells it to you blank. And you know what? It's a pretty good card because you could put that card in your computer and in Photoshop, miraculously, you go from being the president alien to being a resident alien. And I'll tell you something. Fake green card is very good. You know why? Because the only people who can verify that document is INS. Most state DMVs can't. Most other government agencies, they're taught if the document looks to be authentic, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, then you accept the document. So, for somebody who's trying to create a new identity, the use of one of these store-bought, so to speak, fake green cards can be an ideal way to penetrate the system because the only people who can verify it are INS. Now that brings us to another point of the use of fake ID. You'd never use a fake ID when it could be in a, where you could be in a position where the person you're supplying it to can verify it. You never do. In other words, a fake driver's license, with one exception, which I'll talk about later, is good for everything except driving a car. A fake green card is good for everything except crossing the border. Because you give that fake resident alien card to the border inspector when you're coming back from Vancouver or Tijuana, and he puts it in the computer, he's going to have a nice big smile for you and say, Mr. Jones, could you please step inside for a few minutes? And guess what? You're not going to step outside for a couple of years. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. You have to know when and where you can use your fake IDs. Generally, the stated purpose of the fake ID, driver's license to drive a car, is exactly what you cannot use it for. Okay? Now, we'll talk about the one exception where a high-quality fake driver's license can be used to drive a car. It's what we call ghosting. And this happened to a man in Portland, Oregon, I guess about a year and a half, 2 years ago. He was a bus driver for their transit system. He's driving his bus, dum-duddy-dum, you know, being the wage slave that we all are. And the bus gets pulled over. He's like, damn, who are the cops after? You know, like four cops pulling them over. It's like, yeah, holy smokes, right? And it's like, oh, no, we don't want one of your passengers. We want you, buddy. He's like, what you talking about? He said, well, you know what? You never showed up for that DUI trial down in Florida. You jumped bail, so we're taking your ass to jail, and you're going back to Florida. And, boy, I wouldn't want to be you. And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? I've never even been to Florida. I'm a damn bus driver in Portland, Oregon, for God's sake, right? Hey, I've been to Portland. It's not a bad town, okay? Now, listen. So what happens? The guy goes to jail, and he's telling the cops no. And he's like, yeah, yeah, we've heard it all before, blah, blah, blah. Now, remember, when you're wanted on to be extradited someplace, the state doesn't give you a lawyer. They say, hey, we just hold you. We send you back. You take it up with the people there. Well, he's, you know, hooting and hollering. No, I am not this guy, whatever. Finally, he hires an attorney. The attorney gets the fingerprints sent, all that stuff. It's not the guy. Here's what happened. A very enterprising fellow said, hey, I need a driver's license, one that if I get pulled over, it'll verify. So he said, I know, I'll go buy the CD-ROM, which I believe the state of Oregon still sells, of all their license holders. So he buys the Oregon DMV database. See, I'm talking about privacy yesterday, see? I told you, your DMV is the greatest seller of your privacy than anybody. So the guy went through, and it's like, okay, I'm a black male, 5'11", stocky build, medium complected. There's 10 people in this room who, in general terms, look like I do. So I could go search the Oregon database, find a license holder whose general identifiers are the same. Now I've got that person's license number, their name, the expiration date of the license, and their general physical description. I then go buy or make a high-quality forgery of that Oregon DL, but I put those identifiers on it. If I get pulled over any place in this country, the cop will run the license, and bingo, it comes back that it's valid. I'm not John Q. Newman. I'm Joe Smith from Portland. Well, that's exactly what happened to this guy. Yeah, exactly. He said, let's hope you don't pick the wrong guy. He's wanted for murder.